All right, I would like to call to order the Administrative Control Board meeting for Mount Rachel Water. It's June 12th, 2025 at 5:58. Do we have any public inputs?
We do not.
Okay. Do we need to go into executive session?
We do not.
All right. Let's move on to the consent agenda. Does anyone have any adjustments to the meeting minutes? No. Does anyone have any questions on the check register? Didn't have any questions on the check register? I have a couple. Surprise, surprise. Okay, so the first one, we did a $2,600 refund to somebody for an overpayment.
Yes, they accidentally set up a automatic payment and took that out, and it would have been like they wouldn't have worked it off for like 9 or 10 months. It was a lot, so we did decide to go ahead and give them back the payment.
Okay, so yeah. But they just thought it was like 260 and they put in an extra zero or something,
an extra zero. Something like, I can't remember exactly the details they told us, but yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, we didn't work case for me. Oh, that one was okay.
Okay, and then it looks like we did a major repair on the Gulf irrigation system for $7,100. Okay, but it was something that was our responsibility, not Promontory's.
It all passes through eventually in the irrigation rate to Promontory.
Okay, so that'll get added to
The rate that occurs.
Excellent. And then what does one breath mean on the drug screens? It just said there were two that were that made sense, and then the third one just said one breath. So I don't know if the explanation got cut off.
One has to do a breathalyzer, the other for just urine. CDL.
Okay. And then did we really buy $2,400 worth of hydrant paint?
We were about a pallet.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was all my questions on the check register. And
the
we don't
last
have...
one was the only one I guess you could ask.
Oh, really?
yeah.
And we don't have any purchase orders?
We do not.
Okay. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Should we approve the consent agenda as discussed?
Okay. Joel, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. That's unanimous. And then we're on to Steve for our April financial results.
April, we continued to look good for the year so far. It's strange because of the way the meeting's spelled. I've actually almost finished both in May, but now I'm talking about April. But we again had better interest earnings and impact fees through April. Water usage is very standard for the first 4 months of the year, so water revenue was very close. Overall, we are doing about $500,000 better than budget through April. Let's go down a little, Chris. And as you can see, water sales were very close to budget, 1.3%. Park City wasn't wheeling quite as much money, water, so they're a little under. Development-related collections and other revenue. Other revenue is really interest earnings, and development-related collections are impact fees. That's what causes the variance through April. If we go down a little bit, expenses are still running good. Actual operating expenses, 6.7% below budget. The non-operating, as you may recall, we're running a little over budget because of paying the $25,000 application fee to WIP. But still looking really good on expenses through April. Let's go ahead and do it now. Cash had gone down. As you'll see, the other restricted is the real cause for the drop. That's other restricted is where the construction cash is. So to make payments to Oakland on the building, that drops that down. Customer growth, we were pretty close. We're through April about four connections ahead of last year. I almost don't like looking at the four-year average on this one because 21 and 22 skew it so badly. But when you just look at last year, we are up a little bit from last year. And Promontory was also up on their lot assessments sold compared to last year by four. So kind of getting back into our historical growth patterns, let's say. Water usage, as I said, through April, there's just not a whole lot of variance. Our own customers, 0.4%, higher than the four-year average, almost exactly what they did last year in April. And if you look at the year-to-date, they're really close, just a little bit more, you know, we're like 3.3% ahead of the four-year average. So not a lot of variation through the early months of the year. So that's why our blue line stays exactly a little bit above the purple line, which is to be expected. And I think, is that the last slide? Oh, and you can see how tight things were to budget for April water. The one that was, and that has caused the variance, let's say, is irrigation golf. They actually turned on and started taking water in April. So that's what caused kind of the variance. I will give you a little sneak peek of May. A lot more water usage than historical. Everybody turned on early, especially large residential and golf course. So May revenue is going to be significantly higher than budget. So it's kind of that. And on the radio, as you hear that, there's been a lot of talk of water managers are saying there's been a 15% increase in usage, even above the usage of last year. And they're obviously in hot, dry spring. There's a lot of conservation fatigue, and people have kind of been tired of it. But there also hasn't been much messaging about the Great Salt Lake or trying to conserve water. We will see. As you all recall, our rate increase this year is skewed towards the usage tiers. So if people get those, start to get those larger bills, there might be some I'm want to decrease my usage to say below 11. So, all right. So that's kind of April. We'll see. By our board meeting in July, I'll probably have June closed, so I may kind of skip May's presentation and just jump to results through June. So we'll see how that goes. All right.
Okay. Sounds great. Anything else, Steve?
Oh, yeah, a little bit here. My next section.
Oh, okay.
But that,
so this is the consideration for recommendation of approval to the Summit County Council?
Yes.
Okay.
So a little update. We had an excellent meeting with Lithia. We presented to their larger team. They liked what we prepared. They liked how, you know, engineering and demand, there was a need with the Withio loan, being able to tie that finance, being able to finance it and spread it over time. So it went well. We then went to the county and presented not the full grant resolution because we wanted to kind of go over that again tonight, and, but presented on the project and that we will be, we're looking to use Withio funding. That went well. So as we kind of start in tonight, the first thing I want to say is it did get confusing last month, and I think it's because we were trying to do two things at once. We were trying to refinance or refund the loan we got to build the building. We decided that might also not, County Council went well yesterday just talking about Lithia. We don't want to muddy the waters more. So we're going to pull back that whole refinancing and refunding for a few months. So it just is simple. It's still in some of your, in the memo stuff tonight, but we're going to not present that when we go to the council in a couple of weeks. And so we're not going to talk about that tonight. Rates still aren't where we really need to act. We're going to wait till we, and take our bite of the apple when hopefully rates drop a little bit more.
Which is anticipated.
Which is anticipated.
At least once this year, right?
Yeah.
That's correct.
And so we should have plenty of time to act when we think it's the right time to act. Because we'll get some savings. It's just if you act too soon, we may not get as much savings as we want.
Okay. Yeah, that's just that one bite of the apple.
Yeah.
Right now. So you don't want to go too soon.
Yeah.
So when I was reviewing the packet and there were all the attachments, I was having a hard time understanding how those fit into this. So maybe as you're going through, when you get to one of those things in the packet to make it for us?
Yes.
Okay.
And then we'll also, the key decision we're really looking for tonight is, as you may recall, when we were first thinking of doing the treatment plant expansion, the rate increases were a little higher than what we would want our customers to experience. Withia gives us the ability to amortize it out longer and also delay payments. So we brought those interest rate increases down, but we still have one more scenario, or we have two scenarios to choose from with Withia. One that would result in higher rate increases now or in the immediate future, and one that kind of delays those rate increases. So those are your scenario ones and scenario twos.
Scenario one is 61.
Yes.
Yeah. 73.
I'm going to, so not to skew the audience too much, but our preferred recommendation is probably scenario two because it gives us the most flexibility. So let's go ahead and start kind of the slides. So yeah, we can skip past all of Sam, unless Sam, you really want to talk some more.
I'm good. Then okay. There are project questions. Happy to go through as much as we'd like.
Steve, real quick.
Yeah.
Does Withia provide a better rate than, say, Zions Bank or any other financial institution?
It's based on a 30-year view. They look at the whole life of the loan. So more the 30-year treasury yield, which is a higher rate than the 10-year treasury yield, but that's part of the cost of getting the flexibility and the longer amortization. So it's still, it may not be what we would get in the bond market, but in the bond market, we're limited to 20 years and more immediate payments.
Okay.
So that's why we're kind of, well, that's why Withia has been a really nice
term. More of a different term. Is the rate higher, lower, or roughly the same?
Higher.
Higher.
But not significantly higher. We're not talking the difference between 2% and 5%.
Right.
We're talking more like maybe 4.25, 4.5, and high 4s.
Okay.
Yeah. If that makes sense.
Okay. Zions is an alternative to going out on the bond market or going to Michigan.
Zions really isn't an alternative. Zions is our financial advisor. They would help us go to the bond market. They wouldn't finance it themselves. Mm. When we were talking about, so the rate the bond market would give us right now might be 4.25. The rate we're going to get with Withia is 4.9. But also, the flexibility you get with Withia, you do not get with the bond market. You're locked in 10 years. You have to pay it all off in 20 years. Whereas Withia gives us a lot of options.
Well, and we're also then anticipating, you know, we're at 4.9 right now. We're anticipating rates to come down and use that option that Withia has of a one-time interest rate reset. So we're closing, you know, this year. We don't anticipate drawing funds down on this loan until the beginning of 2027. So we essentially have 18 months to see what the market does in those 18 months. And then hopefully close as interest rates start to come down or use that one-time interest rate reset. So we may close at something a little bit higher, but be able to actually do that reset and then lock it lower.
Right. So yeah. So the closing this fall will have a rate, but we can still adjust it. Okay. So let's start with Sam's conceptual slide. So this helps. So this is the projected cost of the treatment plant. In these costs is a $6.8 million contingency. So we don't really expect to spend this much, but we might. We're still at 30%, but there is a contingency built
in this. In the 35.
In the 35.
In the 35 and the 42. The 35 is as a sub of just the construction costs. As you see below that, there's the design we're doing right now with Barolo, that's 3.5. The CEMGC, the ones who manage the construction project, another 2.9, and then $500,000 impact fee to the reclamation.
But I don't believe there isn't contingency below the 35.
There's not.
The contingency is all built above.
Is above into the construction.
6 million,
6.7, so more like 20%.
So every line has contingency.
Correct.
Yeah. Above 35.
Above 35. Yes. So now we take that and let's talk about where we're getting the money from, because I think that's where we got a little lost last week or last month. So if you go to, I think it's down there. So now we've got our costs. So we're going to finance this through a Withia loan that right now we project to be about $34.3 million that we would draw down. $2 million in the drinking fund grant or loan with principal forgiveness, basically a grant, the $2 million. By the way, I think Sam and his team and Andy, they were down, that basically got secured the other day. That will be ours.
Right, what?
Previously incurred costs, obviously we've been doing things, we've been paying people already. We're going to pull $2.3 million out of our impact fees. Our impact fee balance right now is $5 million. So we are going to use about half of that. And then we have other district reserves. We have money that we've been setting aside in our capital reserves that we'd be able to spend on that. So that's how we get to the cost of the construction project. Make sure we've got it all covered. So scenario one is, again, the loan from WIPIA is really expected at $34.3 million. They give you a higher loan limit than what you really need because they don't want you to come back. We don't have to draw it down. We don't really plan to draw it down, but they give you a higher credit limit than you really expect to use. If we decided to make interest-only payments on that loan, we could. If we did that, what it's going to do is have the rate increases in 26 through 28 be more like 7 or 8%. And then there'd probably be one big, in 29 to 34, we're 4 to 6%, and then we kind of stabilize at 3 to 5%. So doable, but it kind of puts the burden on our current customers, whereas the treatment plant is meant to be the source for decades and help customers for decades. So maybe not what we want to do.
So are we limited on the previous slide? Is that all we can do on the impact fees?
We could use more because the IFFP, a number of it has been allocated to that, to growth, that we could use more than that. But
and we will be coming back to you later this year to revisit the IFFP designs and Bowen Collins. I've been going through this process based on these new numbers.
Part of the reason we're not using the whole $5 million is we are using impact fees to also pay for the 224 line. Our one third of that we had to put in, because that is for growth. We can use that. So we just don't want to use, well, we have some other needs for impact fees, let's say.
Gotcha.
Okay. So scenario one, scenario two, which is a nice benefit of the WIFIA, is instead of having to make those interest-only payments, basically we can capitalize that interest. It doesn't add to the principal balance, but it gets added as additional interest cost or to the loan balance. So it doesn't have to change the loan amount, so we still expect 34, the loan limit of 43, but we would add whatever interest is accruing on the money we draw down during those years to the loan amount. What that does is lets our projected rate increases from 27 to 23 remain at 3 to 5%. Or basically cost of inflation, cost of living, because our debt's not changing. Our debt payments are, our debt payments are not changing, just our big debt, but it's the payments that run on the rate increases. So what this does is it would allow us to see what happens as far as growth. The more customers we have, the lower the rate increase, the more customers we can spread it over. So we have a nice growth spurt again or things like that. There would be probably one rate increase pretty significant in 2034. Obviously, that's a long ways out predicting. Just to get to where we need to be on payments, then we'd stabilize again at 4 to 6%. Now, the nice thing about the WIFIA 2 is, even though I've kind of put a scenario where we're making interest-only payments or we're not, if we have a good year and we say, hey, we want to take some of our excess revenue and make a payment, we can do that. We can say, hey, we want to pay down the interest because we have an extra $500,000 so that we would accrue lower costs over time. So that's another benefit of scenario two, capital-wise, is
we could pay that.
Yeah, we can pay that down. So if the 3 to 5% rate increases and we have a high usage year and low expense year, and we're like, hey, we got a little extra money, we can immediately cut those costs.
That's a once a year.
Once a year option that they give you, and then they reset your amortization after. But we can, once a year, we can do that. Couple of graphs to just kind of help visually do this. So right now, our annual debt payments are about $4.5 million a year. If we started to make the principal, or sorry, interest-only payments, you would see in 2029, we have to come up with $6.1 million. Again, that's why the 7 or 8% rate increases. So we spike a little earlier, and then long-term, our payments stabilize under $5 million, but we have to pay for it kind of earlier on. Scenario two, we have this nice, where we kind of keep our debt payments constant until 2034, and then we absorb that payment in. So there's never the spike above $6 million, but we do stabilize above $5 million, but it's 9 years from now, and we can have a lot of growth or things could happen between now and then. The other nice thing in 2034 is you see the light blue line? That's Series 2019A, which was basically the bond that started the district that was refinanced in 2019, goes away. So our payments really come down. So it's a nice timing of that payment goes away and the WIPIA payment comes on. So that's, like, again, why I'm thinking scenario two is my recommendation. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. Total parity debt. So this is loan balances, all of them added up. So when we add the WIFIA, yeah, it gets starts to add. We're not keeping payments on it. All our debt will get up to about a little over $70 million. Right now, we're about $45 million. Expensive projects cost money. If we go with scenario two, it's not bad. We spike a little bit higher because of the interest we're capitalizing on our total debt. And it kind of comes down. It doesn't come down. We have a little more because it's a little more expensive over time. But again, we have time, which has always been kind of a crucial thing, of time to get it built and ready in time for when we need it, but not too soon. So the next slide, I think, summarizes kind of the overall picture. You bet.
15. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We go to this one, trying to again just give you.
Go back to that slide.
Okay.
You said it's over 30 years.
Well, this only goes out to 2040. It actually will be paying us till 2060.
Okay.
62.
What is the blue stuff drop off?
The blue foot. Stuff is
2023.
The building.
Yeah, that's the building. Which, at some point, we will refinance and have some savings on that. We're just asking to do that right now.
Not going to change the total period.
No. It will just help me save us some interest costs over time.
Okay.
All right. So scenario one, again, we hit that annual debt payment spike earlier, and it's above $6 million. Our maximum debt reaches $71.2 million. Total payback of the WIFIA loan over 35 years is $76.56 million. Scenario two, our maximum debt payments isn't reached till 2035, and it's only $5.41 million. Maximum debt reached is $73.17. Total payback of the WIFIA loan over 35 years is $89 million. So the $89 million versus the $76, let's talk about that for a minute. That's the cost of capitalizing that interest. That's the cost over the 35 years of delaying the payments and keeping the rate increases lower. Again, if we have extra revenue, we can take a hit at that. Obviously, it's kind of like your mortgage. If you paid extra principal early on in your mortgage, it's saving a lot of interest over time. This would be that same principle. Or if we decide, hey, we only need 3% rate increase, but let's do a 5%, make sure we allocate the extra 2% to this. It gives us that flexibility. But they're pushing out payments costs more over time, like any other thing in your life that you do with debt payments.
So to that point, I did a little bit of math earlier.
Yeah.
Assuming that all your kind of projected rate increases are infallible, right?
Yeah.
Scenario two would actually result in a 17% lower water rate to the users in 2040.
Compared to
scenario one.
Yeah.
So I guess it kind of stands to reason that, you know, if we're pushing out our payments to kind of save money here, it's costing our ratepayers money, is what I'm attempting to say.
It's costing our ratepayers money over time.
Right. Yes. So if my bill is $100 a month today,
yes,
in 2040 under scenario two, my bill would be $280.
If you would mind.
Under scenario one, it would be $312 for the same usage, according to your math.
Okay. There is a short-term benefit till payments kick on, and mm-hmm. long-term, the debt would be a little bit higher. Then long-term, it's lower under the other one. It's, do we want to have your bill go from $100 right now to $110?
Right.
Versus 105.
Yeah.
And kind of see what, how it plays.
So I guess what I'm attempting to say is that from a ratepayer's perspective, just dollars per gallon of water, scenario two is favorable to the ratepayer based on what I'm seeing here.
Scenario two should be.
Right.
Scenario two would not.
Yeah,
because you've got over the 35 years, your cost is higher.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't run rate scenarios all the way out that far.
Mm-hmm. And mine is very crude.
Yeah.
But
but I do want to pass this out really quick. If everybody maybe take one and kind of pass it around the table.
And Corey, there's a couple of caveats to this. Right now, we're at 30% design.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't know what
sure.
end number will be until we get everything done and then bid. And then the second caveat is this is based on the capital improvements we know we need to do now
sure.
or in the next near term. So if something catastrophic happens, if we have to go get more debt, this is just dealing with this specific project.
So if we look at, just real quick, what's the major issue for your graph on? It makes sense to me.
No, I think there is, and I think that's even according to the slide.
It should, because there's that $12 million that we're spending.
But if you just go on rate increases, what I'm understanding, just to mm-hmm. talk on rate increases. You got to a base rate,
right?
And you look at scenarios of rate increases. Scenario one,
the standard. Ratepayer homeowner scenario two is in the favor of that
it's
individual. Right. I think.
Yeah.
Seeing this from home.
I want to validate your math.
Sure.
Corey. I do know in the short term and to 2033, 2034, it is better for the rate.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we take all of our residential revenue last year divided by the average number of customers we had last year, the average water bill in the district last year for residential customers was $139.46.
So are you questioning his number?
No.
Or the concept? Because the concept matches up exactly with the sheet.
Over
he's
time.
He's not really hesitant to accept his.
Let me roll back. Let's roll back a little bit.
Okay. I'm totally confused now.
I'm just magic that way.
This one? Where do you want to go?
Yeah, let's go to scenario one first of annual priority payments. So our rates are driven a lot by obviously our costs and things like that, but also the amount of debt payments we have to make. Larger rate increases now cover higher debt payments here, and then it stabilizes below $5 million. So once we get to here, if we'd have to do the math on where we're at, but in theory, our customers would have to be coming up with less money to cover our payment. We'd have to charge them less. The next slide is we're saving the money here, but this number is higher.
for the next 35 years. Mm. So potentially over this time, we may have to keep more of these at a 5 because the debt payments out once we start making them are higher.
Okay, that's the...
Okay, so at a point in time, Corey was correct, but what you're saying is if we spread that out over the whole 30-year period of WIPIA, scenario 2,
yeah,
potentially will cost more because of the capitalization up front.
The capitalization up front, or ultimately maybe go to the word one. Sorry, Chris, thank you.
Let's go to the two comparisons with like a $79 million and the 80. One way or another, over 35 years, we're going to pay back that much debt if we make interest-only payments. The other scenario, we're paying back this much, which would make me think long-term, we may have to keep rates a little higher.
So we might just have to open our window a little wider if you
want. May open the window a little wider is what I would say.
But you were right, Corey.
At 2040,
yeah.
You know, in the 15-year outlook,
yeah,
scenario 2 is pretty clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Short term.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's tried to put this on something you could look at. Like scenario 1, you know, we're potentially looking at as high as a $209 water bill for the average water customer by 2029. Under scenario 2, we're only looking at like 186. And that, you know, when you start to do the math year over year, it does make a difference. So again, if we decide scenario 2, but things work better to make payments, then we can save money over time, but we're not overcommitting ourselves to, we are going to make these interest only payments. We're going to have large rate increases right now. And kind of the principle of trying to match up the expense of the treatment plant expansion to all the people who will benefit from it lends us to lower rate increases now, more over time, as the treatment plant expansion will serve customers for 30 years.
And we'll have customer growth in that time.
Yeah. So, more important than even like the $43 million number or the $55 million number that we've kind of had here, because we actually got some different... Our bond council has said we do not need to capitalize that interest, but we didn't get that confirmed until like 5 o'clock today. So more what the board, what we're looking for a recommendation tonight is to go to the council with the parameters that would allow lower rate increases in the near term. And then that number we can fit into that. It'll probably be the $43 million number. Because we don't need to add the $12 million in amortized interest. Capitalized interest. So many words in my head. I do have a couple of amortization or an amortization schedule for scenario 1 and scenario 2. If anybody really likes to geek out on amortization tables, I'm going to give one to you, Karen.
Okay, I can't wait.
But just kind of, you can see where the 76 and the 89 kind of come from over the, I think the last payment, I need my glasses, is basically, yeah, in 2062. So I don't think anybody here is going to be here when that last payment's made, but.
You never know.
I mean in the room.
In the room.
Because we have to move to the other building.
Yeah.
Oh.
My turn will be over soon. Like I said, I really like the flexibility of this WIPIA loan. There's the chance to reset the rate. There's chances to make payments that aren't scheduled to keep your overall costs down. And it gives us the ability to really spread, not hit our current customers who are going to benefit from the treatment plant, but the customers 25 years from now are going to benefit from the treatment plant expansion too. So why put the burden on the current ones?
So we're not really stealing it from our children, yeah, as they say. We are placing the costs on the ratepayers that will benefit from this
expansion. Yeah, over the time.
Can you go back a couple of slides to that kind of description of the scenarios? Just that, yeah. Okay.
It's 2. Do you want me to go to 1?
That's my first one. can go to one. Yeah. And so the only difference is between one and two is the capitalization of interest and pushing it out.
But you're saying now we might not even need to ask for that.
Yeah, that we will leave that option, but probably see the $43 million parameter resolution that counts up $43 million.
Yeah.
On scenario two, we thought that had to be $55 million because we thought we had to include the amortized interest. We don't. So either way, we would go with $43 million.
It's just whether we capitalize or not.
Yes, but that doesn't matter in the parameter resolution. But I think to just guide us to the scenario we're following next, you know, over the next handful of years is what is the key decision, I would say.
Okay, so so at this point we
So is the is there a difference in time then between scenarios one and two? Or of one name?
When we close and things like that,
the duration.
The duration is the same. The life, the 35 years is the same.
Okay.
It's just, are you making payments now, interest only payments now, or do you wait and start making interest payments in 2034?
That's the same.
Yeah, kind of.
Did I hear you say earlier you wanted us to make the recommendation to pursue the lower interest? Sorry, lower rate increase. That's not written into the correct statement.
Yeah, because this also addresses the $18 million, which I think you said we're gonna.
Have them make a recommendation to follow scenario two with lower customer rates, which would do a parameter of $43 million? Or how does it have to be agended versus what they recommend?
The only thing that matters in the parameters resolution is the $43 million.
So they can just say, and we didn't, we left it off last time because we didn't know exactly what that number was going to be, so we left it off again. So I think you can just say, we recommend to approve.
Just say it's right.
Yes, okay. and to not include or not recommend the $18 million that you have to pay, right?
Yes.
Ian, are you trying to recognize the reasoning of
trying to like figure out what we're being asked to do right now?
Okay.
I think I almost got it, but I had missed the 18. So we're not asking for the 18 anymore at all.
Correct.
At this point.
Correct. Okay.
We will come back at some point and some rates are more favorable, but they're just not.
So this all happened after Friday?
Some of it happened as recently as 5 o'clock today, right?
Yeah, we just started all of our meetings with WIFIA. We had WIFIA meetings this week. We had council meetings this week.
All right.
And we continued discussion with Bond Council and with Brian Baker. So it's...
I'll pick it up. I just missed a few dots along the way. So sorry.
Do we need to be in a big hurry? Is there a time?
So this is a requirement. The parameters resolution is a requirement of WIFIA to move forward. It's one of the check boxes they want checked. They want to know that we have approval to proceed.
So what? But then do you, my next question would be to David. Do you need the board's permission to capitalize or not? Or is that just the discretion of Mountain Regional Management of how they decide on their finances?
Well, it's both, because in order to have fee increases, you have to, as a board, have to impose those fee increases after a public hearing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, certainly management can decide to capitalize or not capitalize interest. But ultimately, they need to make sure you're okay with whichever way they go, because you're the funding mechanism for the rates.
Yeah.
But for this, they just need an amount for the parameters resolution.
Right.
And since they're not doing the refunding portion, we need to have, I guess that 43 million is the new parameters resolution that you recommend to the council. And I think the reason why WIPIA wants this done quickly is because right now they have funding. They don't know if they're going to have funding after the big, beautiful bill gets passed. So they would like to lock this in.
I did ask them today specifically about any disruptions that we could feel from, and they said, no, we don't anticipate any.
They've already set this money aside for us.
It's been set aside.
It may not
have been kind of an
allocation for Congress, but this money has been and is at.
Any further discussion?
I have a couple of questions. And anybody can answer this, I don't care. Have we taken into consideration a couple of things? Growth or lack thereof, acquisitions or not? And then what do you think our customers want us to do? I mean, prices are ridiculous. In general, I mean, look at eggs. Holy shit. I mean, I think we need to, and maybe I'm talking to the wrong crowd, but we need to put ourselves in people's shoes. I'm not saying we should go with scenario one or scenario two. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, have we really thought this thing through? That's what concerns me.
Joel, we have thought this through over the last 3 years since I've been here. But even before I came here, the district was trying to figure out how to make this work. And there's a couple of things in play in here. People can live without eggs. They can't live without water.
That's true.
And we need to make sure that we can take our full allocation out of the Weber River. Right now, we're limited on how much water we can bring up over the hill. So this would allow us a reliable source. It does account for growth, but it also accounts for if one of our other sources, one of our wells or anything goes down. So it's critical there. The biggest portion, the biggest cost of this is the membranes. We believe that we can augment, replace the membranes that are there to give us the ability to do this. But there's also a safety issue up at the plant where we have chemicals that are stored improperly, and there's a safety issue. That's the second largest piece of this. So we have done both of these. This really is not a want. This is a need. And unfortunately, it is expensive to do. We're at 30% design. We don't know where our exact number is, but with WIFIA's encouragement, there's a 20% contingency in there. And WIFIA has been in the business for a long time dealing with projects much larger than ours. And their recommendation is go for a higher amount, only use what you need. But if you have overruns, the money will be there, and they're really willing to lend it. So, yes, we've looked long and hard. Yes, we know there's going to be a financial impact. But in order to meet the future growth, and we don't know where that future growth is or when it will happen, we kind of have to have this in reserve, because it's not like we can turn on a spigot. As you know, this area is growing as Promontory moves towards Brown Canyon. We're getting calls there. We're getting, we're talking to Lake Rockport Estates. This allows us some control, more control over our district. I think it's the right thing to do. We're trying to do it in the most cost-effective way. WIFIA does provide us this avenue. If we had to go out directly to the bond market on a 20-year amortization, this really would not be financially feasible. It really would double the rates in order to make that. So we think this is in the best interest of the district. And like I said, we've been working on it for over 3 years at this point.
I'm not saying you haven't thought this through, but I'm just asking the question.
Yep.
I mean, I think it's a really good question. There's a shitload of land out there that could be sold in or developed. And I think, we're talking about looking in the future. It just worries me from a standpoint of looking long term.
It worries us too.
Man, I'm losing sleep over this.
No, it worries us too.
I didn't mean to take up so much time, but I'm really concerned that we don't want to obviously run out of money. We don't want to run out of water. I mean, those are the two most important things as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, Steve alluded to it. I mean, we've had more water consumption. We're at max capacity at the treatment plant today.
I know.
2.6 million gallons, and we're on June 12th.
Okay, are we going to tell the county to slow down a little bit?
We tried to tell the county a couple things. We're shot down.
I think they have their head up their asses. Sorry. I mean, this growth is ridiculous. I mean, I've been here for 20 years. I can remember 224s, a dirt road, two lanes. And look at it now. I mean, it's crazy. So I just bring you the choir.
Oh, you're good. Thanks for asking.
I'll shut up.
Good.
Would somebody like to make a motion for or against our recommendation to the county council?
Motion for consideration and recommendation of approval to the county council, acting as the governing body of the district. All necessary actions issue certain water revenue bond of $43 million for Sigma Bill Watering Plan expansion.
Okay, Joel is second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, it's unanimous. All right, I know that was a lot of work, Steve and Lisa. You guys have done such a great job with this and really helped explain why we were spreading it out over such a long period of time. It's really helpful.
Thank you.
Okay, we are on to Anna. Tell us which of our neighbors are not paying their water bill.
My one is $10,000.
Oh, yeah, why? They're not open yet, so they probably just aren't paying.
That project's been going on for 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah. It's over. Ownership.
Yeah, they're
old. No.
I don't remember.
I want to say it even started pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And then stopped, and then someone else took it over, and someone else took it over.
And none of them were paid the entire time.
No, that no. Their monthly bill was for the top.
From January.
That's just for this year.
Yeah.
Just from that. Yeah.
So how much is their total need?
They stopped making payments in January. So
We didn't know anything before that.
Right. Yeah. So this is just from this year, January to May. And then if they get behind, they have their water meter installed. So
and I guess if you added up all the Hillwood homes, they're bad too.
Hillwood homes has 43 that are delinquent. The ones that have water meters, they get shut off, so they try to keep those current. But these are all their lots. So
is their strategy just that they're going to let it get paid off when it gets sold to a third party?
They don't pay their taxes. They don't pay their bills.
They're probably on the delinquent property tax bill.
But your property taxes after 5 years are trouble, right?
Yeah.
You can sell it up from under you.
So I think he hopes that they don't.
So there's already a real impact to us.
Can we increase our administrative fee?
Regular customers.
It's regulated by state statute.
But we're down to 15. Yeah.
Is it compound annually?
seminar we do every year.
There's a couple of million.
Well, because the what we're leading does include the penalties that they've incurred by not paying their bill. So it's not just their base, it's the penalties.
That's just the admin fee, the $20.
No, the admin fee is to go through this process.
To do the lead.
Oh, to do the lead.
Where's the penalty fee?
It's embedded
in the balance.
In the balance.
Oh, okay. It's already in that balance column.
Yeah, correct.
And the good news, we send this to the county, and they cut us a check.
And then these all started, so we're all asked.
So, do we ever have carryover from the year before?
No, we clean up everything.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, the county cuts the check, and everybody starts at square one.
Okay.
Oh. I think what you're saying, though, is some of these do start in July.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of these lots
okay.
will be like from July of this year to like May. So, yeah.
This isn't more than a year's worth of water use, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's typical. Or less. Like,
so, but there are typical people in Summit Park, especially the little, well, especially, but there are people in Summit Park that won't pay. They just let it get on lien.
Yeah. And then the others are stage folks.
They just don't ever pay us. They just
pay the cap. Well.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't.
Why are there so many in Summit Park?
They're just lots.
Yeah, some of them are just lots. Some of them are, so it's just standby fees. Sometimes it's, you know, people with renters and they don't deal with their stuff correctly.
And they just like to write it off on the test.
Oh, so basically they're able to deduct it if they do this.
I'm not paying my bill ever again.
There's some question on whether that would be correct under the IRS code.
Yeah.
Or if it would disqualify me from this board.
Does correctness matter?
These technically aren't taxes.
Yeah, they're not taxes, so they shouldn't be deducted.
Yeah.
But if they get a tax bill, I think it's better because of all the taxes.
Okay.
Until they get audited.
Yeah.
Then they'll pay interest and fees on that.
On top of the audit.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone auditing anymore, is there?
Well, they just got a new IRS.
All right, so we just need to make a recommendation to approve the 2025 list.
Yep. Yeah, because now I'm kind of change, right, from the process. Some people will drop off.
And what was that drop dead date?
The next.
By next council meeting?
Yeah.
Or,
it'd be the 25th of June.
Have we asked?
That's the next one.
No. That'd be good. No one
will have to wait until July. Lisa and I are going, we're going on the 25th anyway.
So.
Has that been confirmed?
We should confirm. Well, with the recommendation tonight, we do have a reason to go.
Mm-hmm. There should also be that annexation as well, right?
Oh, that was last night.
We did that yesterday.
Oh, but it didn't win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The map wasn't in the packet, but it went.
Oh, okay.
All right. I think a
motion for consideration for recommendation approval of the 2025 certified tax lien for delinquent fee charges for Mount Regional Water Special Service District to the Summit County Council as discussed at the time of next council meeting.
Okay, Joel is seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's unanimous. And now we get to hear from Andy.
Thank you. In the packet, I've included some pictures of the building. This is looking at the offices. A week ago, Corey just happened to be on site for other purposes, so he actually had a tour, so he can confirm or deny anything that we're showing you.
It's real.
Thank goodness.
We are moving along. You're going to start seeing, if you drive by, you're going to start seeing some of the excavation, the curb and gutter is scheduled for the beginning of July. Since that picture was put in the packet, that's all been sheetrock that is inside the shop. The wash bay has all been sheetrocked and enclosed. The floors, they started sealing the floors inside the administration building. All of these forms, kind of the tiered gardening that we'll have in front of the admin building, those have all been poured and that's all been peeled away. If you drive by, that goes out to the back patio. That's really going to be a nice space.
And this is a ramp and it's actually been poured already.
Are you going to allow employees to work on their vehicles in the shop?
No, that's only in the school district.
That's the.
It wasn't that bad.
No, we're not going to start fires in shop. No. Our classic cars.
High Valley Transit?
No, our classic cars will not be.
Throw water on a gasoline fire.
Well, yeah. That was pretty bad.
Yeah. No, we won't be good for that. But that, things are moving along. Like I said, you're going to start seeing final landscape happening. Over the next month, really significant work on the outside and paving and things like that. We are still on time and on budget. We meet weekly with the Oakland team. So, and Corey, seriously, if you have anything to add, and anyone, if you or everyone a tour of the facility as it stands, just let me know and we can arrange that. So with that said, this is the last time that we will meet here in this space. Beginning next month, we'll be over at Basin Rex building, not in the main building, but the building that's to the left. We'll meet there for the next couple of months. I can't remember if there was one conflict.
October, because we have a late meeting for that's our budget timeline, so we try to push it as late in October. And Basin Rex board has a meeting the same day, and they're using that space. So we may need to find an alternate location for that October meeting.
Usually the week before us. Yeah, they're having two.
But they're having two because of budget.
Okay.
So we're not in the space that we were.
So this is the space previously. Where we used to be. This building is actually in this
indoor pavilion.
Really?
It's like a classroom or pavilion type thing.
They change,
but it looks that's
so just remember that going forward. And we did meet a little early this month. The next Thursday is Juneteenth. The district offices will be closed. Also in the board packet, I included the concurrency report. Once again, Sam and his staff did a great job getting that information in. We have plenty of ERCs, no questions or anything like that.
You included all of the books.
I did include everything just for people's information.
Sorry. Any typos?
I didn't find any typos. I found some. Anyway, not about mine. Anyway, that's all I have.
Well, I read through the water concurrency report, and so. So it sounds like they're allowing an ERC to be less water. I mean, how does that affect our long-term, the graph that says when we're going to run out of water, I guess.
It not only helps us from a concurrency perspective, just showing we have the ability to serve future development, but we're nowhere near our ceiling the way the concurrency program or the county views it.
Okay.
But it's only, from my perspective, it's only a positive thing. And it's reflective of actual data in the district.
Yeah.
And as time goes on, that data gets better and better. It outlines a couple of water quality issues that we need to pay attention to, but overall, it's good.
Can I ask another question? So, what is the peaking? So, when it says that there's a peaking factor of 1.13, how does that compare to the 0.55 gallons per minute?
Oh boy.
Or do they have nothing to do with each other?
So I don't know the 0.55 figure off the top of my head, which what that is.
That was our new water concurrency.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Factor.
ERC.
Yeah. So that's on an annual basis. Yeah, absolutely. So that the peaking factor applies to the peak day number, not the annual number. And the concurrency program looks, we provide monthly data, and they want to know how does our peak day within that month correspond to the average over peak month, which is always July for us.
Mm-hmm.
So that 1.13 is the factor from our very peakiest peaky day down to the average of a peak month.
Okay, so it's not 13% higher than our average day throughout the year. It's the 13% higher than our average day during our busiest month.
Totally, yeah.
Okay.
And it's
okay.
Really consistent. Last year was an outlier, but I mean, we see 1.12s, 1.14s. It's really tight. The shape of the demand curve over July is usually very predictable.
Okay.
But last year was unique, you
said? Last year was the lowest I've ever seen. It was 1.09, I believe, which doesn't seem like a big difference, but it is. And I think last year was just reflective of a very sustained usage period.
Yeah.
So instead of having a sharper peak, if you're to picture a bell curve, it's not a bell curve at all. But, it's more of a rounded curve, more sustained usage of the year. Steve can test that with a lot of water sales. And I think it also, that's why I would attribute it to last year.
That'd be a mushroom curve?
It has a little tail to it. We have, I usually see like a 3-week period where we're operating like within, let's say 95% of the peak day. So we'll peak, it's usually like second, third week in July. Then it'll tail, it'll have a little shelf, maybe about 3 weeks, sometimes it's 4 weeks long, and then we finally seem to get a little bit of relief. And that's fairly typical as well. But yeah, the strange thing about last year is just more consistent throughout the whole month of July in general. So I'd be surprised if it's something similar again this year, but we'll see. Might be a trend.
What's the ratio of the annual average usage to the peak day?
So district wide, we're usually around 2.2. I've seen higher numbers. I think the highest I've ever seen is around 2.5. And that was an outlier year as well. But for most part, I'd say between 2.2 and 2.3 for the district, which is slightly higher, I'd say, than most combined water systems, meaning we serve drinking water both for indoor and outdoor use. You know, obviously, the separate irrigation system would have a very flatter, non-existent peaking factor. Like, you know, better than me, Mike, a lot of people just use 2 as a ballpark for what people go from average annual to peak day. We're consistently higher than that. That's just on the retail side. On the raw water side, it's significantly higher because of the golf course watering. The golf course peaks around 3, low 3s.
And then why did they include the Gorgosa Summit Water in that report? Was that just...
Gorgosa Mutual Water Company?
So Gorgosa and High Valley are both exempt from, because they're 90% built out, Special Service District 3, Summit Water, and Mount Regional, all the ones that are subjected. I just wanted to give you all of the information so you could see how we compare it to the other water companies.
Yeah. Yeah, they can cheat. They don't have to play.
Did anyone have any other questions of Andy? Any questions on the department updates? I have a question for Brian. So what do we do potholing for?
At the plant, that was just soil samples for inspection.
Oh, okay. I just wondered if that was like something we did in the spring to...
No,
just so they know the correct foundation to build.
Maybe we're close to a lot of our water lines to work on. If you're working
on. Let me just mention this. Since we talked about potholing, I don't know if any of you have been down Old Ranch Road lately and seen the work that the county is doing, moving the stream from one side of the road and doing trails and other improvements. a week ago Monday, Brian was out there, met with the general contractor, found out that our pipe conflicts with this stream alignment and everything in three places. Unfortunately, we weren't informed until a week and a half ago. We met on site again with all parties on Monday. We are going to have to move an 18-inch water line in three places to accommodate this extreme alignment and the other improvements that we're doing on Old Ranch Road. This project is already underway. They want this paved and put back together by the middle of August. The water line relocation has not been engineered. We do not know how far or wide or long or deep or whatever that we have to do it. Because we have a franchise agreement with the county, technically it's our responsibility to do that. But the real significant problem with this is in order to move it, that water line will need to be shut off and a large portion of the district will be out of water for a period of time, hopefully a short period of time. But if you have to do a back T and other things to make sure everything is fine and the line meets the culinary standard, it could be 12 to 24 hours. That means 9 tanks, we will have no ability to refill. That means people up in the colony and other neighborhoods potentially could be out of water. I went to the county and I said, time out, fire, water, bad time of year. And the response was, we're plowing forward.
Dang.
While not nearly as urgent or I guess critical, the sewer district is running into very similar problems with this project. As of maybe 4:28 this afternoon, I got a design that I didn't hate.
Yeah, so I don't know who. Anyway, this they missed on letting us know.
Well, yeah, I mean, just the whole idea of doing that, something like that in the middle of summer seems. Yeah.
They didn't even consider that when they scheduled that. They didn't even know our water line was there.
That's why you call blue sticks before you start digging.
I would guess that they knew because they had a design put together for the sewer about a week and a half to 2 weeks ago. They sent it to us, and then we have one in the archives from 2015 that's fairly similar.
The plans that we saw on Monday had no water lines.
Did it have any utility?
It's a single utility on there.
So there's a private parcel adjacent to the work that's happening there that Summit County is partnering with, and that parcel has determined that while the road is cut up, all of the infrastructure is going in. That's what's driving this from my side of the argument.
So it's a rich guy on Old Ranch Road.
I would say influential more than rich.
There's no legal justification. Legally turn off water to the entire colony.
Does it affect community water?
So it's community water. All of them.
I mean, gosh, that's a lot of families, you know.
Well, what, Sam, would you come up with rough number 1,600?
1,600 connections, 2,500-ish people.
I mean, Colony might not have many people, but, like, all those other neighborhoods are full-time residential.
Yeah, that's if everything goes well.
Right. It can do it, but then they're right.
Yeah.
While they're doing the work.
They should have given better notes.
Well, yeah, we should have completed the project.
Should have been 6 days.
Is it on the side of the pump station that feeds the pump station to suction side or discharge? Suction side.
So then regardless, all the connection from the pump station to where we pull the water out. Oh, no.
Sorry, Mike.
So we just need that interconnection line.
We were just talking about that like an hour ago.
But we put the bill for this?
Well, as a concession, the county is willing to
pay half.
Yeah, that interconnect line that we're never going to use would have finally come in handy.
Willing to include the work as part of our existing contract and cover half the cost to loop the line under the culverts.
That's what they're going to do. Is
but it's, I mean, it's really not the cost. It's the the exposure.
It's the risk
of fire.
We notified them.
No. This email was 5/22.
All right. Well, okay. After the vacation.
First. See you in July. Anyway, on the good news.
Yes, tell us the good news. That our generator at the Old Range Road.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The other picture was just the forms.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, in the packet, I said hopefully it would be in place by the time you guys came to the meeting, and it was indeed in place.
That's, yeah. Is it going to remain blue?
Yeah, unless we do some sort of wrap on something. But at least it's in place before the guy sells the lot.
And the secondary containment is underneath.
Yeah, it's a double wall built in, double wall tank underneath.
We might do some other lands.
Yeah. 40 or 50 big trees.
I think it should be red.
That's a ball.
Wait, you are fire hose, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
They put it in a nice spot, all things considered.
I'm certainly the one glad the one by our house is nice damn tan. All right. Any other exciting revelations that happened late this afternoon or?
Oh, that's it.
I have some observations. He probably thought of this, but whatever happens on Orange Road, the more notice we can give people, the better. I mean, if it's 6 months out, I mean, I would do it as soon as possible.
Yeah, once we get a specific time frame, because this is just going to have to be a surgical, I mean, it's just going to have to be as precise as they can make it.
Yeah,
they're going to have to.
These people will be really pissed off.
Yeah. I mean, they may have to have fire tenders in the colony. We'll have to let the fire department know. I mean, there are, and this is if everything goes exactly correct.
Are we going to have to pick up the bill for the fire tenders?
I don't think that's our problem. The county is instructing us to do this.
So we can't supply the water.
Counselor?
I have some other questions.
Seems like it's our problem.
I don't know.
Sam or Brian, the tanks, like we filled them up in the colony before this happens, obviously. Can we keep that? And then we shut them off so the fire storage is there, but nobody can use it. Is that what you do?
Can't control it. It comes out of the system. Yeah. Like we could literally isolate the tank from the system, like you're saying, and depressurize the distribution system, which is not what we want to do. That's another public health hazard.
It also may mean no irrigation. I mean,
so the tank could be drained by the customers before we could turn it back on, and then there would be no fire protection. Yeah. For some reason, I thought we could at least keep the tanks full and not let anybody use water. So
it's like another equally terrible problem.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're going to shove the residences off, you're going to shove the fire hydrant off as well, I would guess.
It's a good question. I haven't thought about that a lot.
It's going to take a lot.
Yeah, we'll have to we'll tap it and have to do a washout. It's 18, yeah. Yeah, we haven't even gotten that far to like think about how we're actually going to construct the thing.
Yeah, who's got the ball of responsibility?
For design?
And notifications.
Customer notification?
Yeah.
I think that's us.
Make a customer notification, we'll do it. We'll get the county to do it. I mean, I don't think we can over-notify people because this is significant. This isn't great. This is.
Yeah, we've been
1,600 connections.
And that's working 24 hours.
I looked at the SCADA data from last year in July, and Old Ranch didn't stop pumping below 1,000 GPM. So. Yeah, there's 1,000 gallons per minute moving through that line.
We asked them to defer. When they do our part,
yeah,
they're going to have to do something. I mean,
it's not just a day shift. They're going to work.
No, in my mind, this is. Because you, I mean, you got to, well, you know, chlorinate, get your back to you, hope it comes back clear.
Yeah, I've been thinking about construction hours. I don't really know if it helps us that much trying to do it at night or specify it, but we'll look to do it and figure it out. It might help a little bit, but
yeah, but most irrigation systems are designed to run at night.
Yeah, so. Totally. So we've got good data on the patterns for every part of the system, but yeah, ultimately it's just that shutting down that conveyance of water that's constant. I mean, it just puts us in a bad spot no matter what.
Well, I know you guys
will.
I know you guys will, I guess, figure out how to do this the best possible way.
I have some other questions. I'm not going to bring it up so much, Mark, for the views. Bring that up. Is Summer Park okay?
Summer Park's great.
Do we need to hire a meteorologist? Of all the water companies, we split the cost. I'm just asking.
So at several of the meetings that we go to, it's not Brian McInerney anymore. It's
on there.
Is that his name, Glenn? We do have access to them and a lot of their data, so I don't think it's necessary for us to.
It's just a concern, but if we have access,
yeah,
that's fine. I mean, that's just as good.
Are you interested in a meteorologist?
Just a little water supply, water consumption.
Lisa participates in several conservation, drought. Lisa's really keyed into a lot of that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it's either bi-weekly or at least once a month water supply updates. And we have all the federal organizations and state organizations and water providers on that talk about the different conditions in the area that they're seeing water supply, evaporative demand, weather patterns. The last call I sat on was Tuesday. I think I've mentioned before, maybe it's predicted to be a hot, dry summer. They can't tell if La Nina is going to set up, or not La Nina, sorry, the monsoon. It's too early to tell whether the monsoon is going to set up favorable or not. So we're at a 50-50 chance that sets up. But we should know in the next few weeks as that starts to come online whether or not we'll have any precipitation. But regardless of the precipitation, we have a literally like a red bullseye over Utah for higher temperatures than normal. Yeah, much above average.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Have we in another weekend or we want, do we have anyone to live on site in the new building?
We did not plan for that.
Okay, I'm just asking.
But there, I mean, there is a space where if someone had to be there, there will be a room with a recliner in it.
Okay, all right.
And showers.
All right. Then you and I'll talk later. I got some other things.
Perfect.
That's all I have.
Okay.
Sorry, Jacob. So,
only 7/18, so we've got plenty of time.
I think we should do 8 till 10:30.
Could I do an update for the personnel committee?
Sure.
So Joel and I talked before the meeting here tonight. We'd like to do interview 3 of the staff from the list.
Okay.
We got probably we kind of did a random selection. We were thinking we could do it maybe 20 to 30 minutes each. We were thinking maybe before the next board meeting. And I got to help him get out of here with the names.
Okay.
And I think the idea was we wanted some staff feedback following the employee survey was what we were looking for. Maybe I could use a little help on some of the areas we were got some but where we had questions.
Sure. Would you tell Andy that we're getting ready to fire him?
Yeah, that's next.
That's the second time I've heard that today.
Good, Dave.
Thanks. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding.
Fine.
And then I could use help with getting an E-man from the review software.
Mm-hmm.
This is still not, it's not done, but I thought it was.
Okay, and TrackStar.
Yeah,
I didn't turn that notification off. It's just lingering out there because I, in order to give you access to the objectives that we were using for other staff, I had to add you as a user, even though I know that it's done. So I can turn that off.
Thank you.
Sure.
Oh, so we don't get to hear who the 3 people are. Yeah.
Well, funny job.
All right. Anything else? Somebody like to make a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. That's unanimous, and we're adjourned at 7:20.